Across the nation, only about 30% of adults have documented plans for what to do at the end of life.
But in La Crosse, an estimated 96% of residents there have a will, advance directive, or other similar documentation prepared.
The city's comfort with talking about death caught national attention. It's the result, in part, of a culture shift that took place over time. Many credit one person for it. Bud Hammes.
Bud Hammes is a medical ethicist and director of medical humanities and respecting choices for Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. He joins us now from Wisconsin Public Radio studio in La Crosse. And Bud, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Gene and Rob. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you along and talk about this. I want to talk about that 96% figure, though, because that, in my mind, is a fantastic number. The 30% figure is something that I would kind of expect, but 96%, is that's accurate?
That's accurate, but it's accurate. We measure that number at the time of death. So when we look at all La Crosse County residents who are adults and die at any location in La Crosse County, we find that 96% have a written plan in their medical record at the place that they're being cared for, and we honor the preferences of that directive 99% of the time.
So as we mentioned in the introduction, this was a shift in the La Crosse area that's taken place over the course of time. When did we start measuring it? When did you start getting involved in this? And what was it looking like back then?
Well, first of all, we got started because we noticed what probably every health professional notices even today, back in the early 90s, that we saw on a daily basis families under great moral distress because they had to face decisions for their loved one and they didn't know what that person wanted. They didn't know what to do based on conversations or preferences from that person. That's the common scenario still in most places in the United States. We decided that that could be prevented, that we could give an opportunity for the people in our care at both Mayo Clinic and at Gunderson the opportunity to talk about what they did want should they be unable to make their own decisions and really effectively communicate that to their family so their family would be certain and clear about what to do at these critical moments and at these major decisions.
And so when did you start this? Was this in the 1970s, 80s?
No, we started, there was a letter decision made by the senior leaders in La Crosse to form a La Crosse area task force on advance directives, and that letter came across my desk in 1991. And between 1991 and 93, that task force developed the program that is now called Respecting Choices.
And so then how did it develop? Because it seems to me, first of all, what was the appetite like when you first wrote that letter and had some of those first conversations with families? Was this something that they were prepared to discuss, or was it something that they sort of backed away from when you brought it up?
Well, I think it's a mixed reaction. There certainly were people who were quite ready to have this conversation. And I think it's often said people won't talk about this, and I think that's actually completely wrong. People don't know how to talk about this, and so they don't. If you give them the opportunity to, through a guided conversation, to know what to talk about and how to talk about it, and you provide a safe environment for they and their family to have this conversation, a vast majority of people are actually willing to have that conversation. Those who aren't quite ready usually take a little time, but as the data in La Crosse shows, most people will come around and say, this is something that's important for me, but more importantly, it's important for my family. I don't want my family to be guessing. I don't want them to be uncertain. I don't want them to make a mistake on my behalf for me, as I'll suffer the consequences of that. And when people truly understand the value of this, they're willing to undertake what is challenging and sometimes emotional work to think about what's important to them. So should they reach a point, and this isn't really about even dying, it's about what will your family decide on your behalf when you can't make your own decisions? This might occur when you have an accident and suffer severe trauma, and it might be that your family says, clearly we need to go ahead with treatment, clearly he would want to keep going. it might occur when you suffer dementia, as I did for my mother for nearly 9 years. I made her decisions because she was unable to do that, and I was guided by her preferences and her values through that whole 9 years.
Do you find that people who have had an experience maybe such as yours dealing with a family member and having to make those decisions are sometimes really good advocates for this type of planning?
They are, and this is exactly where we almost always start the conversation. The first question we typically ask is, has anything ever happened to you with your close friends or family where you witness someone having to make decisions for someone else that they loved, and how did that experience look to you? What did you learn from that experience? When people reflect on that, and almost everyone now has had such an experience, they come to see the wisdom that this kind of discussion and planning helps you, and more importantly, helps those close to you to be better prepared to make those decisions.
We're talking with Bud Hammes of Gunderson Health System about how La Crosse is setting an example for the country in establishing end-of-life care directives.
And we want to hear from you. Is this something you've struggled to talk about with a loved one, with a family member, for yourself? What questions do you have about establishing things like advanced directives? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. We're talking with Bud Hammes about how to prepare for the issues we face at the end of life.
And many of us, of course, have difficulty talking about the end of life and planning for it, but we're taking your questions and comments about it now. So, for example, do you have an advanced directive? Have you talked with your loved ones about how they should handle end-of-life decisions for you or for other family members? If not, what's holding you back? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can also send us an email. That address is talk@WPR.org. Let's start with a call from Milwaukee, and Patty joins us. Hi, Patty.
Good afternoon. I've had some experience with this topic, being a care provider for my father-in-law and now facing the serious health condition of my own father. We've started using a booklet with a video program called The Five Wishes, which is recognized in the state of Wisconsin. And it goes advanced directive and then some, because it really helps to go into some of the minutiae and the details about if this type of condition is happening, how would you want to be treated? And it goes to a lot of questions that I don't think a regular advanced directive addresses.
Patty, thanks for the call. And Bud Hammes, what about programs like that? I'm not familiar with the Five Wishes, but the idea of the advanced directive that we've all heard of is certainly a place to start. And what about, Patty referred to it as the other minutia? There are a lot of details there.
Well, there are, and the Wisconsin has what's called a statutory power of attorney for health care. The document, unfortunately, is written at a 14th grade reading level. It's very hard for even educated people, much less people who have literacy problems, to understand. And it doesn't really guide you through any kind of decision process. So in that respect, the Five Wishes document, which gets into a lot of detail, is much more helpful. The Wisconsin Medical Society is sponsoring and promoting a program they call Honoring Choices Wisconsin, which is actually based on the program developed here in La Crosse called Respecting Choices. And this program is actually training both health professionals as well as people out in the community to help guide the conversation. These are complicated conversations, and perhaps the most difficult thing is to actually figure out and think about what is important to me. And these facilitators who are trained help guide individuals and those close to them through that conversation. So not only do they ask the right questions, but they, in fact, kind of get into the minutia in a way that's very individualized and personalized for that family, for that group, so they can both understand what's important to them and how that applies to possible future healthcare decisions.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about too much is kind of the when of all this, because, you know, you talk about being in a hospital room, sort of facing it all right there, and that's the wrong time. But, you know, when things are going well and everybody's healthy and the sun is shining, it seems like it's a difficult time to bring it up. How do you glide into that discussion when it seems like there's no reason to talk about it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of compare advanced care planning to other kinds of activities we have, like life insurance and car insurance. We obviously don't plan on dying, and we don't plan on having a car accident, but we do prepare for those by having an insurance policy in place in case something happens and we now have to face the consequences. Advanced care planning is a type of insurance program, but it's for kind of moral insurance. We never expect something to happen to us, but when it does, like in the case of the Terry Schiavo case in Florida, that family was totally unprepared to face that very difficult decision because they didn't know what Terry Schiavo herself wanted, at least not all of them. And as a result, they ended up in a terrible conflict that lasted many years, and a lot of heartbreak and pain was caused, no matter what you think about either side of the case. What we're trying to do, and now the State Medical Society, through its Honoring Choices Wisconsin program, is simply help people get into that spot where they can have that conversation. They can have that talk with their family. So should something unexpected happen, or even something perhaps for someone who is older, more predictable, the family will be prepared to have the decisions made in a way which they can feel comfortable and clear about.
Let's go back to the phones right now. Katie is with us from Blue Mounds. Hi.
Hi. So I've been listening about the advanced directives, and I just wanted to say that my mother is a medical social worker. She works at a hospital, and she specializes in geriatric care. And so I've seen all sorts, she's told me all sorts of stories about people who just are unhappy with the way that, their family has handled all of their different medical situations. So from 18, I've had a power of attorney document, and she's educated me that it's important to have all of those things set up no matter how old you are, because you don't know when these, and so at 34 or 74, you could have something happen to you, and then if you wake up or if your family is just distraught and they can't handle the situation in a clear mindset, that it's important to think about it regardless of your age.
Katie, thanks for that. And Bud Hammes, Katie brings up that point, and it sounds like her mother has trained her pretty well, you know, power of attorney at age 18 or whatever she said. But, you know, there again, it's also not a case of just educating sort of upwards, but also to the rest of the family, too. I mean, it's a team effort, I think.
Absolutely. These decisions, even when you have a power of attorney for healthcare, this is a document for the listeners who may not know. This is a legal document in which you can legally appoint someone to make your healthcare decision should you become unable to make them yourselves. This is clearly something that anyone of any age, 18 and older, should consider and doing. One of the things that people often don't understand in the state of Wisconsin, if you're an adult and you become incapacitated and have serious health problems, there's actually no one in your family who has legal authority to make your decisions, to either give consent or to refuse treatment based on your preferences. It's frequently done, but it's not based on any kind of legal structure in our state or statute. It's based on kind of practice of medicine. A power of attorney for healthcare allows you to actually designate someone to do that, and to clearly inform the health professionals who it is that you would want to make your decisions. But even when you appoint someone, it doesn't mean that it's not the broader family who enters into that discussion. So I've appointed my wife to make my decisions, but I would hope and assume that she would confer with our children if their time permitted So they were all involved in making that decision, and I've had a discussion with them so that they understand what my values and preferences and goals are, so that when they face these decisions, not only is there a legal decision maker, but the family can act together without conflict in making decisions on my behalf.
We've only got about 30 seconds left, and so I hate to dump this on you, but you've made some pretty astounding progress in La Crosse with this. What do you see the rest of the country? How long are we going to take for the rest of the country to catch up?
Well, just quickly, I think because of groups like the State Medical Society, great progress is being made in Wisconsin and in other places in our country. And what we're starting to see is that these same programs that we've implemented in La Crosse can be successfully implemented in other places, even though they're very much more diverse and much larger.
Well, Bud Hammes, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking with Bud Hammes, a medical ethicist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse, who has helped the citizens of La Crosse establish end-of-life plans for themselves and for their loved ones. He joined us from our studios in La Crosse.